Hello. That was awesome. That's great. Hey, I want to welcome all of our churches that are joining in, as well as everybody online on Facebook at our online campus. And today I want to give a very special shout out and a welcome to our newest church who is joining us for the first time ever via video online for this service. And so I want to give a shout out to Eastlake Church, Paradise Village, right there in National City. Can the rest of our churches welcome them for joining us today? Awesome. Glad you're a part of it. And all the other churches that I couldn't name by name, you're still loved too. Because I know it's kind of like the birth of a baby in a house, right? They get all the love and attention, and then the older brother starts getting jealous. So every one of you are loved and glad that you're a part of this today. I don't know how you approach a new year. I don't know if you're maybe a glass half full, glass half empty. I'm definitely a glass half full guy. I love the end of a year and the start of a year. And the reason, part of it is the work rhythm that we have here is we kind of follow a six-month set goals and then evaluate rhythm. And so in December, we're closing out the second half of the year and going, okay, how did everything go that we prayed and hoped and planned for and worked hard for? And then we take that last part of the year to dream about the next year and to plan and to make changes. And so as I stepped into 2018, honestly, I stepped in with a lot of hope and a lot of excitement. But like a lot of you, my hope and my excitement and my plans and dreams met reality in week number two of this year. My wife left town for 5 days this week, which was the week that all three of our kids went back to school. And so my hopes and dreams of this amazing schedule and all these things that I was going to accomplish came head on to the reality of my crazy life. And the three kids are in two different schools now. In 2 years, all three kids will be in three different schools. They're all playing basketball right now on three different teams, which have totally different practice schedules and game schedules. And on top of that, this week, here in our office, we started a brand new work schedule and work week. Days that we used to have off, now that we work. Days that we worked, we had off. We changed meetings. And so all this came to a head this week. And so you should have seen the family calendar in our kitchen. The day before my wife was leaving, she said, okay, I've written everything down, which means you don't have a clue what you're supposed to do. So let me tell you, all right? We've been married 20 years. She knows the reality of who she's married to. And so you should have seen this family calendar on the wall in our kitchen. It looked like this is what it takes to launch a space shuttle, okay? The number of people that had to go places at the same time, and here's who's helping, and here's who's picking this kid up, and you got to be here at this time. And so, you know, here I am in week number two of this year, and honestly, I felt like I was just spinning my tires. And the way that I wanted to live already in week number two wasn't happening. And you might feel that way already as we kind of approach this year, or we are into, you know, just a few weeks into this year. And that's why we're doing this series called Reengage, because we want to make sure that we are spending our time and living in the right ways in these three most important areas of life. And so everybody grab that outline out of your program or click over there on notes if you're on the Eastlake Church app. And I want to give you the series big idea right up front in case you're just joining us this week. In fact, every week we're going to review what the big idea of this series is. And here's what it is. Write this down. We can re-engage upward, inward, and outward by understanding we are loved. Which, by the way, I see some of you looking at me. My wife came back last night and all three kids are still alive and accounted for. So mission accomplished, all right? We can re-engage upward, inward, and outward by understanding we are loved. You see, this idea of upward, inward, and outward, it is about us loving God, rightly loving ourselves, and then rightly loving other people. And so as we start this year, we're saying, hey, these are the three most important dimensions that we all were created to live and love in. In fact, every single person already lives in these three ways, upward, inward, and outward. And every person throughout history has lived in these ways because God has created us and designed us to live upward, inward, and outward. And so even if you're here and you're just checking out church, which by the way, at any of our churches, it is a safe place for you to just show up and belong before you believe and kick the tires of Christianity, so to speak. But every one of us are created by God to live upward, inward, and outward. Let me explain what I mean. All of us have a belief system about God. Even if we don't believe in God, that's a belief system about God. And so we all have ways, depending on our beliefs, the God that we, you know, believe in, what we believe about God, whether or not we believe about God, we have ways that we relate to God. And so that's upward, and all of us are doing that. And oftentimes, what we believe or don't believe about God, it affects the inward, the way that we live, the way that we see ourselves, the way that we interpret our place in the world. We all have an inward life, the expectations that we expect to get out of life, kind of the way we see ourselves in the world. And then we all have an outward expression of that because we interact with each other every day, on our jobs, at our schools, in our neighborhoods. Your outward life impacts me and mine impacts you. The people that work in your office, you impact them and they impact you. And so all of us are already living upward, inward, and outward. And so understand that we are created by God to live and love in these three dimensions. And this series is all about us understanding that and then learning to live in those right ways. And so last week we learned the foundation for all of this, for us to rightly love God, rightly love ourselves, and rightly love other people, is first and foremost based on the foundation of God first loving us. And this was our theme verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. I want us to read our theme verse out loud together. We do this in our outside voices at all of our churches. 1 John 4:19. Ready, begin. We love because he first loved us. That'd be a pretty easy verse to memorize during this series. We love because he first loved us. And as we said last week, everything hinges on this upward love first. We can only rightly love ourselves and love others and re-engage with God when we understand that the starting point of all this is that he went first, that he loved us. And so last week we said the upward, it is what everything else hinges on. The changes that you want to see inward, the changes that you want to work themselves out outward in new relationships, it all hinges on having the upward right. And so the question we asked last week is, what would 2018 look like if we took all of who we are and worshiped God this year? That if we said, God, we want to put you in the center of all that we are and all that we're going to do this year and get that upward right. Today, we're going to focus on the inward aspect of how we're all created to live and love. And so let me give you today's big idea right up front. Go ahead and write this down. Today's big idea is that God's love for me changes how I love myself. God's love for me changes how I actually love myself. And understand, loving ourselves, or maybe another way to say that would be self-love, it is actually a God idea. But the problem with our human condition is that we love ourselves apart from God's love, which makes our self-love self-centered and selfish and leads to destructive choices that often hurt us and hurt other people. And Jesus talked about the danger of self-love void of God's love. In other words, making life all about us, and that if we do that, we're in danger of losing what Jesus says is the most important thing. Here's where Jesus talked about this. Mark chapter 8, look at these words of Jesus. He said, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own, say that word out loud, soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Jesus is clearly saying here that the most precious, fragile, important part of you and me is our soul. And what he's saying is that in this life, you can have it all, you can experience it all, you can do it all, everything that you want to accomplish and have and experience, you could do all that, and if you're not careful, you could lose what Jesus says is the very most important thing, and that is your soul. It's this inward life. And our soul is one of those things that can be really misunderstood because it's not something we talk about in everyday language, right? I mean, you're not going to go into your school or your office tomorrow or see somebody in your neighborhood and begin, you know, the conversation with, hey, so how was your soul this weekend? Nobody does that. That's weird, and you won't have any friends by the end of the day, okay? And so it's one of these things that in our culture, we don't talk a lot about the inward self, the soul. But it's really important that we understand it because it is the essence of our total personhood as human beings. Jesus said it's the most valuable part of us. And so understand, your soul is not just something, it's not just the part of you that lives on after you die. It's the most important thing about you now. It encompasses all of your life now. Dallas Willard, a late UFC, he was a fighter. No, USC, that's funny. University, if you know who Dallas Willard is, that's really funny. Dallas Willard was a professor at University of Southern California, USC, in the philosophy department there for, I believe, over 40 years. And he's kind of the father of modern-day spiritual formation, talking about really this core of who we are. And here's what he writes about the soul. And he says it so well to help us understand how indeed this is what Jesus was saying. It's the most important aspect of who we are. Here's what he writes from the UFC cage. What is running your life at any given moment is your soul. Not external circumstances, not your thoughts, not your intentions, not even your feelings, but your soul. The soul is that aspect of your whole being that correlates, integrates, and enlivens everything going on in the various dimensions of self. The soul is the life center of human beings. And so understand, your soul is that deepest place of who you are. And if you're somebody that thinks that you can live a segmented life, that it's like, okay, here's kind of, and I get that we all have different aspects of our personhood, but the soul is what brings our personhood together. You are not just, okay, here's who I am when I'm at school, here's who I am when I'm at home, here's who I am when I'm on the job, now let me put the dad hat on, let me put the husband hat on, let me put the pastor hat on, let me put my friend hat on. It's like the soul is what connects all those parts of our personhood. When you read the Bible, something you need to know is that very often the Bible interchanges the word soul and heart. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's not talking about, most often, it's not talking about the physical part of you that pumps blood to the rest of your body. It's talking about your soul, the seat of who you are. I've explained it this way before. Think of it like the soul or the heart, as Scripture calls it. It's the place where all the other spokes of your life are connected to. And so the reason you better care about your inward self, the reason you better care about your soul is because it affects and it is connected to everything that you do and everything that you are. And so since Jesus said the soul is the most important part of us, caring for our soul, or another way to even say that would be loving ourselves, it is really, really, really important. Now, what's interesting is we live in a time and culture that this idea of soul care or self-love, it is becoming increasingly popular. If you go to any bookstore or you look on Amazon and you type in those words, soul care, self-love, any of those things, I mean, you're gonna see article after article, book after book, this theme of taking care of yourself and loving yourself, it is everywhere in movies and in music. It's all over the place. And so we live in a culture right now that says, hey, we need to love ourselves. And what's really interesting is that Scripture says the exact same thing. We need to love ourselves. But make no mistake, how we go about those two things, the way that the world says we need to love ourselves and the way that Jesus taught and Scripture reveals that we need to love ourselves, those are two different things that produce two radically different outcomes. And so really what I want to do with the rest of our time is I want to show you these two different ways to love ourselves. Because if we are going to rightly love God and rightly love ourselves and then rightly love other people, all these things work together. They all work together. So how do we rightly love ourselves? Well, two ways to love ourselves. Write this down. The wrong way is what's called self-centered love. Self-centered love. And this is the message that our culture, it's repeated all the time. Maybe you've heard somebody when giving advice to someone and they're unhappy and they're not liking something in their life, and people will say things like, well, you need to do what makes you happy. Or another way to say that is this, you need to do you. Right? You're laughing because you said that. You need to do you. You need to do what makes you happy. And understand that this desire to love ourselves and be content with who we are and the way we are living, that is actually a God-given desire. And like every single desire, those desires we have, they are God-given. But if we don't fulfill them in God's ordered way, if we're not living it, if we're trying to live outside of Jesus' path and Jesus' plan, that desire goes wrong all the time. And the way that we fulfill that ultimately causes hurt in us and almost always hurt in other people as well. But we live in a culture that says, you know, and again, that these statements aren't bad, but it's kind of, you got to listen for the subtle message behind it. Pursue your dreams, fulfill your desires, be true to yourself, do what makes you happy. You do you. I mean, think about it. Our language reflects this all the time, right? I mean, just finish these statements for me. If you're stressed, you simply need to learn how to take care of yourself. That's the right answer. When I go like this, you say yourself, okay? This next one will be better. If you're on a job interview, you just need to believe in yourself. If you're not getting your own way, you need to learn how to stand up for. If you're on a blind date and you're nervous, just relax and be. Heck no, be whoever you want to be. They don't know you yet, right? Like, dude, you got one shot at being who you want to be in that moment. Not just playing on the last one, kind of. But here's the thing. We live in this culture that says, yeah, take care, you know, love yourself. But what that always ends up, what always ends up happening in culture is that if self-love is divorced of God's love, it always becomes self-centered love. And this is the human condition we all find ourselves in. And what ends up happening is we put ourselves in the place of God in our own life. And so you wonder why there's all this brokenness in our world. You wonder why there's all this fracturing that we see happening around us all the time. Like we've never been at a greater place in the history of the world in many areas in terms of science and technology, the globalization of the world to be able to know writings and thoughts from all over the world. And why is it that yet with all the advances that we still have, why do we still have these same problems of hate and division and people taking advantage of other people? Why do all these things still happen? Here's why. Because if you have self-love divorced of God's love, it always goes wrong. Because the end is self. We make ourselves God. And everything that, you know, now is for us. And it is about us. And so that's not the goal. Jesus made it clear that putting ourselves first is actually incredibly destructive. And we know this. Putting ourselves first is destructive. I mean, this is the reason marriages are ripped apart, because somebody put themselves first above somebody, one or both people put themselves first. I mean, this is the reason business partnerships are ripped apart. I mean, this is the reason that some people weren't invited to Christmas and other people were, right? Because at some point, somebody put themselves before someone else. They did them. They did what made them happy. And the end result of self-love, divorced from God's love first, never works. It always goes bad. But there's really good news. The good news is there's a way to love ourselves that actually leads to wholeness and self-confidence, but it doesn't end with us. The whole reason that we need to love ourselves rightly is so that then we can love other people rightly. And this is the right way to love. And here's what it is. Go ahead and write this down. The right way to love is Christ-centered self-love. Upward living first, loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It sets the stage for healthy, Christ-centered self-love. Because the end goal is not just us. We take the cue from our master, Jesus, who said he didn't come to be served, but to give his life as a ransom for others. The whole reason we learn to love ourselves right is so that we can step into the life that God has for us. Which, you want to know what kind of life that is? It's a life of surrender and sacrifice. It's a life that says not everything that it comes to me is for me. Not everything is about me. But God wants to use me in the world around me. And so Christ-centered self-love, it doesn't just end and sit with us. That's narcissism. That's why we have this problem in our world. Because self-love, void of Christ's love, is all about us. But Christ-centered love says, I am going to live in the wholeness and completeness of who I am in Christ so that now I can love other people the way that Christ wants me to love them. You see the difference between these two things? Completely different. And so there is a single there's a single reality that we have been given to help us properly love ourselves. We've been given a gift that every time we think of it, every time we see it, every time we practice it, it should not only remind us of what Jesus did, but it should remind us of how much we're loved. You know what that is? It's the cross of Christ. Every time you see a cross, every time you participate in communion, it should remind us not just of what Jesus did, but how much we are loved. And you might not, you know, put those two things together and go, wait a second, you're telling me when I see the cross, I should be filled with self-confidence? Absolutely. Because it tells you how much you're valued by God. That God loves you that much. That he would send his son, that he would give his son to be the ultimate sacrifice once and for all so that we could all be forgiven and step into this new life with Jesus. It should make us incredibly grateful, and it should also tell us how much we're worth. That God loves us that much to go to those lengths to have us in a relationship with him. That's what it should do. When we look to the cross, we should not have an inflated view of self. Man, look how amazing and awesome I am. But we definitely should not have a depressed view of self. Woe is me. I'm worth nothing. I don't know if you ever watched Winnie the Pooh or read Winnie the Pooh books when you were little. You know who that is, Eeyore, right? Like, well, you know, it's just a terrible day. Like a true Jesus follower that understands how much you are loved by God, you should be able to stand with confidence, to hold your head high and say, wow, look how much I am loved by God. This is what the cross does for us. The Apostle Paul wrote about this. Let me just tell you who he is. Paul is a guy that he didn't always follow Jesus. He followed self. And his love of self was so full of pride that he thought anybody that didn't believe how he believed, you want to know what it manifested itself in? And if you want to know what true religion looks like, Jesus actually said this. He said, true religion is those that actually care for widows and orphans. Like, it's not about what you say with your mouth, it's about the way that you live. And so if you want to look at true religion, look at what it produces. Look at, if what's going in, you need to look at what's coming out. And when Paul was a zealot Jew, what was going in was such a self-puffed up love, self-centered love, that you know what came out? He said, anybody that doesn't believe what we believe, we are going to beat, imprison, and even murder. And so that's the kind of loving guy that he was based on what was coming into him. The self-centered love. And then he had this encounter with Jesus that changed everything for him. And it changed him. And all of a sudden, this self-centered love wasn't there anymore. And he writes about this, that when we see the cross, it should change everything for us. And here's how he says this in Galatians chapter 2. He says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. In other words, that self-centered way of living, he goes, I put that to death. Living for myself, making life about me, no longer doing that. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He's talking about the cross. He's saying where I get my value, where I get my self-worth, it is from what Jesus did for me. This same guy, Paul, writes a letter, Ephesians, to a group of Jesus followers in an ancient city, Ephesus, and he wants them to know who they are in Christ, that they are not their past, that they are not the words that somebody said to them. They're not the things that they did to somebody else. Because here's the truth. I know all of us in this room and at all of our churches, everybody online, we've both been on both sides of that selfish, self-centered love. We've had people hurt us and do things to us because of their sin and their self-centeredness. And we've done things to other people. We were the one that ripped apart that marriage. We were the ones that said those words that we wish we could take back. We've all been on both sides of those coins. This is the human condition. And so Paul writes to them to tell them that in Christ, we are not those labels from our past. We are not those stories that sometimes get played on repeat in our mind. And here's what I realize, that there's a bunch of you that this topic today, I understand it is really hard for you. It's really hard for you because of what somebody did to you and what somebody said to you. And you're carrying around those labels that say unwanted, unloved, damaged, no good, whatever that is that somebody said or somebody did. And I want you to know that the cross and communion, which we're going to participate in just a moment, they are reminders of whose we really are and the labels that we should be wearing on ourselves. Because think about your clothes just for a moment, okay? Hopefully you have them on, especially those of you online. We can't see you. We don't know, all right? Who gets to put the label on the shirt that you're wearing? Who gets to put that on there? If it's a polo shirt, I'm trying to think of brands. Somebody give me another brand. I can't even think. Nike, okay. If it's a polo shirt, does Nike get to put their label on a polo shirt? No. Who gets to put the label on the shirt? The manufacturer. And so guess who gets to put labels on you? Your creator, God. He's the one that has the ultimate authority to say who you are, what you are, the potential that you have. And Ephesians 1, some of you, you might need to read this passage every day this week because you've been letting those negative labels wear on you for years. And I hope today is a moment that you drop them and say, you know what? I am not those things. I'm not the things that I did. I am not the things that were done to me. I am not the things that were said over me or the things that I said, but here's who I am in Christ. Even before he made the world, God, what are those next two words? Say them out loud. Loved us, and say the next two words, chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to, say the next two words, adopt us into his own what? Family, by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our, what is that word? Freedom. We don't have to wear those labels anymore. With the blood from his son and forgave our sins. You see, Christ-centered self-love is realizing that Jesus stood in our place and he took the punishment we deserved so that we could be forgiven and reconnected back to God. That's how much we are loved. And when we realize how much we're loved, we should hold our head a little higher, not in pride, but in gratitude. That we should walk with a little more confidence, not in arrogance, but in thankfulness. And also knowing our true identity, that we're loved, that we're chosen, that we're adopted, that we're holy, that we're without fault, that we're part of God's family. That's who we are. And when we come to the Lord's table and when we see a cross, that's the kind of self-love we should have. That man, that's what God thinks about us. So as we receive communion today, if you've been wearing some of those negative labels, tear those off. Take the ones that God says about you. Now there's others of you, here's what I know. You're here today and you're like, man, I'm full of self-confidence. You think you're awesome. But here's the problem. Your self-love and your self-confidence is based in your success. It's based in what you've done in business. It's based in what's in the bank. It's based in what you drive. It's based in where you live. It's based on the title outside the door in your office. It's based on your looks and your Instagram photos, okay? Whatever you got going, I don't know. But here's the thing. All that stuff that you base that on, it's all temporary. Someday everything you own, here's a great thought, somebody else is gonna have. And that body that you like to put on Instagram, it's going to sag. All right? It's just inevitable. So here's my invitation to you. Would you today let your self-love and your self-worth and your confidence be derived from the cross of Jesus? To say that, yeah, and then go out and do all those things that you're gifted at. Be crazy successful in business. So you can go, man, look at how God's wired me, and I'm doing this not just through my own strength, but through him. And I'm doing it to be a part of his better plan. And so be confident, but not in just yourself, but in who you are in Christ. This is the gift of the cross. This is the gift of communion. And it changes us inwardly if we let it. We practice open communion. That simply means everybody's invited and encouraged and welcome to participate in this physical reminder of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so I'm going to invite everybody to grab those communion elements in the seat back in front of you, under your seat if you're in a front row, in the parent viewing rooms, on a shelf. Somebody will serve you if you're in a patio. Go ahead and get those in your hand. And here's what I want to invite you to do. Before we receive these elements, we'll receive these together. I want to give us a moment of silence and reflection and prayer. And I want to invite you in this moment, if you've been wearing some negative labels, things that were done to you, things that you did, things that were said, things that you said, let this be the moment that you just say, you know what? God, with your help, I'm removing those today. And help me live in the labels that you put on me. Loved, chosen, adopted, holy, without fault, called, invited into God's kingdom. That's who you are. Choose to live in those. And if you've been living out of your own strength and your own successes, I hope communion reminds you that you need a Savior, because you've been on the side of making those selfish choices. And today to go, man, I'm grateful that I have a God who forgives me, cleanses me, and invites me into his family. So let's take a moment of silence and prayer and reflection, and then I'll lead us in receiving these together. Go ahead and open that first layer, if you would. Get the bread in your hand. Jesus was with his friends in a meal, and he took bread at one point and he broke it. And he said, this bread represents my body, which will be broken for you. This is how much Jesus loves you. Let's eat the bread and remember him. Now, if you'll open the cup, Christ took a cup of wine, passed it among his friends, and he said something really interesting. This cup represents a new covenant, my blood poured out for you. What he was saying is, once and for all, what he would do on the cross through his blood poured out of his body, that it covers all sin, that we don't have to go through a priest or some other sacrifice, but Jesus has already done it. This is how much you are loved. Let's take the cup together. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you for the great love that you have for us, and it is so easy in our pace of life, in our busyness of life, to forget that. God, help us lean in to the great love that you have for us. Would we see ourselves through the lens of the cross, and would our self-love be through the love that you have for us? And then in turn, help us love other people better this week. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.